Hello and welcome to How to Love Your Body. You may have noticed that we didn't have our little ding, ding, ding at the beginning of the podcast episode. We actually have an original song coming for our new intro and outro. So we are just waiting on that and we are so excited. So we just want to give you a heads up that we might sound a bit different in the next few weeks. So that is coming and we're really excited about it. And today on the podcast, we are talking about why there is no wiggle room in anti-diet work, in undiet work, for any inklings of diet culture, any inklings of pursuing weight loss. Because I know this can seem extreme sometimes to people. So the reason this came up is funny because Lauren and I both had these conversations with our moms over the last week without knowing it. And then we started talking about it. But my mom was saying, oh, there's this cool like workout dance thing that you can do. The creator had an eating disorder, and this is one way she healed, and it helps with body image and everything. And I said, oh, that sounds pretty cool. And we're always looking for new, interesting angles of this work because we always have guest experts in our collective each month. So I went and looked it up. And then I told my mom, I said, well, this person posts some before and afters, so we can't like associate with that. And then my mom said, well, what's wrong with that? If they're feeling good and they have good body image and they're feeling better, what does it matter? I was like, Mom, did you ever watch our documentary? Literally called Behind the Before and After about why before and afters are so damaging. She texts me, she's like, I think I'll have to rewatch that. it's funny how this message can be hard to understand. There can be moments, I think, especially when we're in diet culture, which we all live in, but some of us are more removed than others because we've learned about it and are aware and are actively deprogramming ourselves from all that messaging. But if you're still in it or not, or aware of it, but not quite out of it yet, it might feel like, well, there's got to be a balance. Like, couldn't we be on diet, but also like, it's cool if we lose weight too, because who doesn't want it all? So I think it can be hard sometimes to understand why there's literally no room in undiet work for any of that, for weight loss pictures, for mentioning pursuit of weight loss, for celebrating weight loss. There's not room for any of it. And that I think that's hard for some people to really like wrap their head around.
Yeah, they think, well, I guess since we're talking about our mom conversations, how it came up for me is I was sitting there and I was just talking with my mom, and I said something like, you know, I was talking to her about our business and, you know, the whole Body Love Society. And I'm like, you know, what's just so crazy is we could do the same thing, talk about the same thing, have the same marketing, the same website, the same everything that we do, the same podcast, not change one thing. But I was like, if we decided to add in just one line into our marketing, like, and we'll help you lose weight, we would probably be like, I don't know, the most popular, famous business on the planet. And it's like, because we're deciding not to add in that we can help you lose weight, like that there's such, the fact that it's so extreme is just like, it's so frustrating. Not that, you know, whatever. I won't go down that route. But it's frustrating that it's like weight loss means so, so, so much. But at the same time, it like, I'll kind of explain, like, it doesn't matter. Like, that we're not going to be talking about weight loss because we can't tell you what your body's going to do, because some on dieters do lose weight. Like, it could probably be true. Like, hey, we help you on diet and, you know, ditch the diet mentality, and you do all these things and you intuitively eat and you possibly will lose weight. But we can't know that for sure. So we're not going to put that in our marketing and say, yeah, and you might even lose weight, because you might gain weight or you might stay the same, and you might fluctuate your entire life for the rest of your life, because our bodies are meant to change and we eat different things at different times. And sometimes, a lot of the times, weight and your body size isn't always directly related to what you eat, because there could be many different factors. So the fact that there's so much, I don't know, emphasis on weight loss is so upsetting because it's honestly just, it's BS when people talk about how to help you lose weight.
Well, and it's, and the reason there's no wiggle room at all. So we've kind of mentioned, like, there is not 1 ounce of room to talk about that, is because if you're genuinely passionate about this work, if you genuinely want to undiet, if you truly want the world to change, you can't leave wiggle room. Because so we are here creating a message and a business around this idea that body size is not in our control. Body size shouldn't matter. We all should just be able to live our lives freely, eat the foods you want to eat, move your body the way you want to move it, take care of your body however that looks for you, and carry on with your life, period. But if you leave the door open to, like, oh, but you could also lose weight. What the frick? You haven't changed the world at all. You've done nothing. You have just made a new way for people to pursue weight loss, focus on weight loss, focus on the way they look, and you're not changing anything. And so it's hard because some people might want to find that middle ground, but the middle ground is a cop-out. Like, oh, I could be free around food and lose weight. It's like, the point is to deprogram our brains from always thinking that thinner is better. The point is to deprogram our thoughts from this belief system that if I lose weight, my life will be better. If I lose weight, my health will be better. If I restrict food, this will be a good thing and it'll only create good side effects. Like, all that belief system has us where we're at. So if you see messaging around undieting, health at every size, anti-diet work, but they're still mentioning weight loss, either they don't get it, they don't understand this work, or they're scamming you. And they do understand this work, but they know that adding weight loss onto it will sell more. Mm-hmm. So it's one of two things, and neither of those are any good in my opinion. I will not work with or collaborate with anyone who says, I do intuitive eating or health at every size, and then they're at all ever promoting weight loss, because I don't trust that person, and that person shouldn't be trusted. Because this, like we say, like, it's not black and white, but this part kind of is. If there is talk of pursuing weight loss, like, if you put, it's kind of like if you have a clear glass of water, you put one drop of food coloring in it, the whole thing is going to be blue. Like, you can't have one drop and have it still be clear. Like, one drop of weight loss, pursuing weight loss talk, muddies the waters. And so it's really hard because our capitalist system really runs on, like, ego. Like, the things that sell are the things that, like, ooh, make me look better, get me more money, make my life seem better in some way that's, like, our society applauds. But it's much harder to run a business or run a capitalist system on things like inner work, inner peace, finding a gentle relationship with food and your body. But that goes against society's messaging of thinner is better. So it's really important to understand that if there's a drop of pursuing weight loss talk, a drop of even hinting to, like, oh, and this could make you lose weight, the messaging has been muddied and you're not going to get the same benefits than if you go with, whether it's a therapist or a anti-diet dietitian or just someone you're following on Instagram. You really want to look at their work and see, like, is this pure anti-diet work, or do they have some talk of weight loss in here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if there's weight loss added in there, it's just diet culture, and they just kind of make it, they wrap it up in a bow with intuitive eating, but it's actually just a disguise because, yeah, it's filled with diet culture. And of course we get it. Like, of course anybody, I mean, coming from the culture and society that we live in, yes, we are ingrained with this message that we must pursue weight loss or losing weight is good. And we get that, of course. And that's just why it's about deprogramming, like Jenna was saying. Like, we really have to shift our mindset about what is the truth here. And will always bring in, like, yeah, there's, you know, the anti-fat bias, the fat phobia, like,
It's
that's a
very
thing. And
real,
that's,
yeah.
yeah, that's discrimination. So if somebody says, yeah, you know, I'm not discriminated against when I am at a lower weight and I can live a different life, like, another conversation. Like, that's a deep conversation. So we're not just pushing that aside. And at the root of all this, of course, it would be amazing if the world could just, like, get rid of the fat phobia and not look at bodies as the center of everything. So we under if you have you may if you're listening and you're like, oh, I totally get what they're saying, or I agree with this, and I do still have feelings of wanting to lose weight, or I do, you know, maybe fantasize a little bit, or sometimes I am on dieting, and then I have that thought of, oh, I had a really great intuitive eating day, or that means, and you happen to eat less, let's just say, and maybe you have that hope of weight loss. That doesn't make you a bad person. That doesn't make you wrong. That definitely makes you human. It makes you are still kind of fighting against that societal story of, like, ooh, like, possibly there could be weight loss along with this undieting. And like we just said, there can be. There can, but there's no promise of that. And that definitely is not the focus. Of course, we don't care what anybody's body does, as long as you are paying attention to what feels good to you and what feels right to you and what's best for you. And that's why we always talk about peace of wellness without the obsession, because people could get it twisted of, like, oh, did you hear that podcast that the Body Love Society was doing? They are so, like, against weight loss. Like, yes, we are anti-weight loss, but
Well,
if it were to happen,
anti-pursuit of weight loss.
yeah.
What? I
Yes,
don't care if your
anti-pursuit.
body, I don't care if you lose weight. I
Right.
honestly do not care. That's perfectly cool, fine, whatever. It's when you are taking actions in order to make that happen, that is when all the negative side effects come into play. That's when eating disorders start. That's when food obsession begins. That's when binge eating begins. That's when you then, you're, because when you pursue weight loss, there's no way to not center it in the middle of your life. Is all encompassing. This is not something, oh yeah, I'm just lightly thinking about this for 10 minutes a day. It's like, no, you have to eat multiple times a day, every single day for the rest of your life. There's no way it doesn't encompass everything. When your body is not given enough nutrients, it's going to make your brain start obsessing with food. But the reason this is so problematic is because we literally have been brainwashed to believe. No, this does work. It's just my fault if it doesn't work. Oh no, I could be thinner, but because I don't have enough discipline, I'm not. I should be able to diet, but then I keep binge eating. What's wrong with me? And so it's so interesting how misinformation has us all in this place where we are totally messed up with food, completely hating our bodies, no matter your size. Because yes, those in larger bodies are going to experience more real obstacles and discrimination in the world. But what I have seen is that it does not, like the internal turmoil doesn't seem to differ between people in different body sizes because we just have the constant messaging of like, you're not good enough how you are. You have to change. You have to quote unquote improve. Your body needs to be perfect. And if it is, then you'll have a perfect life. And that truly is brainwashing because everyone takes that on as just, that's normal. Of course, I want to
Right.
lose weight. Of
Bodies
course, I
are
want to be thin.
literally going to be the way they're going to be. Because if you look at the people around you, you don't have the same body type as probably, I mean, of course, there can be similarities, but I'm just saying there is a lot of different people around you who look different for a reason. And I'm sure everybody's heard this before. Everybody can eat the same, work out the same, and we're still going to have different body sizes. And even just looking at kids, there can be parents who, this is no judgment, who, like, just decide, like, oh, I am very intense about not giving my kids sugar. I don't do have this in the house. I don't have that in the house. They never get sugar because, you know, XYZ. And then there could be, you know, other parents who are like, yeah, I just kind of let them, of course, you give variety, but it's not so intense about not allowing the sugar. And, you know, they are eating and having fun with it. And either one of those kids' body sizes can be different. It doesn't mean the kids who are not having sugar are going to be, oh, they're going to make sure that their bodies are never going to get bigger, or they're never going to be in a larger body. That doesn't make you destined to never be in a larger body. And that there's no judgment on if you're living in a larger body or not. No matter what you eat from childhood on, of course, there's like outliers where, yes, we do want to eat a variety of food. I understand that. And it doesn't have to be in a restrictive way, and it doesn't have to be in a meal plan way or anything. It's interesting. The second you kind of allow yourself to just, I allow all food, you have that mindset, you get rid of mental and physical restriction, your body kind of naturally goes to different types of food with different types of nutrients. And I kind of saw that yesterday with my 3-year-old. We had like a little Halloween party with our little friends, little group of 6 of the kids. They're so cute. But anyway, you know, there's candy everywhere. There was people made cookies and there was all this stuff. And so it's just around. I'm definitely not going to gatekeep what she's eating. And so she was eating candy and eating all these things. And at one point she goes, she's like, my tummy hurts. I ate too much candy. And part of me was just like, I was like, oh, that's, I was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, whatever. It was kind of nice to be like, you can, like connect those two. So I want her to be able to know like, oh, my stomach doesn't feel so good. It's not that the candy's bad. It's just like, maybe I ate too much of it and it didn't feel good in my body. But then it was funny. Cause then just like, I mean, she still kept eating candy, let's be honest, but she did ask for like a carrot. Like at one point she's like, I want carrot. Cause they were on the table and I'm like, okay. So it's just like, that's so interesting. I feel like sometimes your body naturally pushes you in different ways when you just allow it all. And my other daughter, she's not feeling her best right now. And she naturally just wasn't really going for more of the candy or the ice cream that was being served. Like she was offered like a banana and she ate that. And that's not saying that's healthy or unhealthy. It's just like interesting where you're just watching kids do their thing and you're not
like
saying,
assume if you allow it, that's all they'll want.
Yeah. Like I didn't want to be like, oh, Phoenix, you better have the banana because you're not feeling your best. And Luna, you go ahead and just have all the candy you want because you're right on. It was just naturally like letting them enjoy the party the way they want to enjoy it. And then they just naturally listen to their bodies. And it's so nice to see that. And then it's almost so sad because that's, I feel how all kids are when we always say that kids are naturally born intuitive eaters. I mean, all of us are born. We are all born intuitive eaters. And then little by little, diet culture comes to get you. And it shifts everything. When if everybody would just be left alone without any of these messages, I bet you everybody would just find their body size that just naturally suits them and they feel good. And there still will be different body sizes no matter what.
Yeah. And realizing that, yeah, this message of weight loss would not even be a concept if diet culture didn't exist. So if we did not live in a world that was obsessed with thinness, that feared weight gain, that brainwashed us into thinking this way, selling weight loss would be like the most nonsensical concept. But it's so normalized in our culture's way of thinking. It's like, of course I'm going to pursue weight loss. Of course I'm going to try to control my body size. Of course I'm going to, like, can you imagine if we were brainwashed into thinking like, oh, you need to control how your hair grows and you got to take all these potions and things and you can change the color of your hair and you can change the, it's like, yeah, you can short term, but then it's going to grow back natural. Well, that's kind of how your body is too. It's like you can alter it short term with manipulating your food intake, but it is so brilliant. It's going to do things like lower your metabolism, increase your appetite, make you fixated on foods, have you start binge eating in order to maintain its natural state. So when you see the messaging of weight loss and it seems tempting, just remind yourself like, hey, if I wasn't brainwashed into thinking this way, that would not be enticing. And so getting on board with the realization that like, hey, I'm going to start following content, listening to podcasts, following people on Instagram, working with coaches or counselors or whatever it is you want to do in this work. Like I am going to start pushing out any messages of pursuing weight loss. And you kind of almost start creating your own little world where diet culture isn't allowed in. Because that, I mean, sometimes I feel like, oh, diet culture is like really lessening and it's chilling out and people are getting so aware now. But then I like step out of my bubble and I realize, oh no, that's just the world I've created for myself with the people we work with and with who I follow and with what I watch and what I let in. And then of course, the way I work on deprogramming my own thinking and my own thoughts, and being aware of all of this stuff that we've been taught and how messed up it is. And so you really can create a buffer around yourself where that messaging isn't as enticing because you know the truth. And that's really the difference, is someone who's selling weight loss is selling into diet culture.
That
same messaging. So they're really perpetuating that thinking. If someone is promoting weight loss, they are perpetuating diet culture, period. It doesn't matter if it's in quote unquote a healthy way. It doesn't matter if it's in a gentle way. It doesn't matter if it's in moderation. It doesn't matter if it's balanced. If you are saying, hey, wouldn't it be good to be in a smaller body? Don't you think you can control your body size? Join me. Like, it does not matter what the actual thing they're selling you is. If that message is there, it is diet culture. It's perpetuating it and it's making it continue. Whereas our goal is to really, with which we can only control so much, we can only control our own branding and our own messaging and our own podcast and Instagram and collective app and courses, all those things that we create, that's all we can control. But that's why we are so adamant to never collaborate with someone who has before and after pictures or even the most smallest inkling of like, this is such a great program to do. It has all these benefits. And even though it's not the most important thing, you can also lose weight. Like even that little tag at the end squashes all the good because it's still keeping that pursuit of weight loss at top of mind. And it's still perpetuating that brainwashing, really.
Well, and if we take a step back and look at who's, you know, selling this type of stuff, it's probably people who are doing it themselves. And it just, they just happen to have the genetics for themselves to have that body size. Maybe they did have some weight loss or whatever. But not everybody is running this type of business because maybe not everybody has those, that type of genetics or whatever privilege that pushes people forward to run a business or etc. Just kind of like when you see people who run a business, let's just say it's totally not about food and body and they're selling something else and they go from like nothing to everything overnight and they become a sensation and they become a millionaire overnight. There are people that you have seen businesses shoot up like that. Yeah, okay. It's like sometimes that just happens for the top 1% of businesses. They're, things just happen. Sometimes you just fall into place or like I said, the privilege that you have or the connections that you have, and you can't just say, here I am. I made $1 million overnight. Anybody can do it. I'm going to teach you how. And I'm not saying it's not possible for anybody else to have that type of success, but it's like, we can't just look to this one person that just had this success and think like, oh, well, if they did it too, I'm going to do it exactly like them. There's so many different types. There's so much that goes into to success or to a business. And it's not just like a one size fits all, like for food and body and for business. And I think that's what we kind of look to when we are being sold to. It's like, well, if they did it, then I can do it exactly like them. But we're not realizing like,
yeah, look how fit they look. If I do what they're doing, exactly. I'll look like them. It's like, that's really like, not how
maybe they always looked fit, or maybe they just, they have a before and after and they go from like a little bit unfit, whatever that means, to a little bit more fit. And it's like, okay, their bodies just did that. But it's not like everybody on the planet can just say, okay, I'm going to look exactly like that body and do exactly what their meal plan is. And they're going to teach me to get there, because that's just not how bodies work. Like Jenna and I can try to look like each other and we won't. Yeah, like it just will never happen.
And I do think it's interesting because when people are selling weight loss, then if you don't lose weight with what they're selling, it's a failure. I mean, if you follow someone's, say they have a workout thing and it's like, it's not about, it's just about feeling good. But then they're always showing before and afters and you don't look any different after, like you are going to be like, oh, chalk that up to didn't work. Whereas
even if you felt amazing.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like the focus on weight loss clouds everything out because of diet culture, because of this messaging that we always receive of, hey, weight loss is the focus. Weight loss is health. It is one and the same and nothing else matters. Because it's what people see on the outside. It's what you get praised for. It's what your ego gets boosted with, all that kind of stuff. So if you even have a message of, and you can lose weight, then if you don't, you feel like a failure and you now throw the baby out with the bathwater and you're like, wow, I did all these workouts, even if it's a workout program. There can be a place in undieting for a workout, maybe program's the right word, but like types of workouts that you enjoy that you do consistently. Like right now, I'm doing an intense kind of workout class that I go to 2 to 3 times a week. I kind of just go when I can. My goal is 3 times a week because I notice that's the amount that feels good without me getting too sore or tired. So it's kind of like my sweet spot. And it feels great mentally, physically. And because I have been able to shift my thinking to, if I do this for a year and my body doesn't change, it's a win because I feel good after the workout. I enjoy going. It gets me out of the house. It gets my blood pumping, gets those endorphins going. Like I really do enjoy it. Even if I have to push myself to go sometimes because I'm tired, but really lazy. but it's just so interesting how the second, if I had an inkling of, oh, and maybe, okay, let's do this for 6 months and I bet my body will change. Then if I do it for 6 months and my body doesn't change, it's like, it just seeps in. It's so toxic that little idea of pursuing weight loss seeps its little toxic juice in everything and taints everything. And then you can't see the benefits of eating nourishing foods or moving your body. If it doesn't change the way you look, you then think it's all useless. And that's so unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really does. Weight loss, the second that's just added in, it does ruin everything. It does feel toxic. But also, I'm not sure if we already mentioned this on this podcast, but the second you have any, even just a small thought of like, ooh, will this make me lose weight or will this not? It's like you immediately can't be intuitive. Mm-hmm. So that really, it kind of just like weight loss not only makes everything toxic, like, oh, I really enjoyed my workout, but I realized after 6 months of this amazing workout that has made me feel amazing, I look the same. Oh, therefore, let me stop because I didn't change my body. Okay. And then it's like, oh, I've been intuitively eating and it's feeling amazing, but I didn't lose weight. But it's like, you just said you felt amazing intuitively eating and you feel free and your mind is amazing. And the second you're like, well, let me just try to be intuitive and I will also try to lose weight at the same time. It's like, that's like an oxymoron. It's like, you can't have both because, I mean, you can your body's going to do what it's going to do, but you just can't do it. Focus on both. You can't focus
pursue
on
weight loss. The key is the word you pursue.
Yes. Yes. You can't focus on pursuing weight loss and you can't focus on eating intuitively because the second you're like, oh, that cookie looks really good. I want to eat some. If you're trying to lose weight, you may say, well, maybe I should have half. Maybe I should only have one. Maybe I shouldn't have it at all. And then it's just kind of messing up your brain because what if your body intuitively wanted to just have half, but because you said you can only have half and you're restricted, now you're either restricting less or you're probably going to binge. So there's just, yeah, there's no place for adding in weight loss.
Yeah. And I get that it's hard. It's like I think this is just human nature. It's like we want to have it all. So when you've grown up, and even if you're 65 right now, you've grown up in a society focused on weight loss. Well, grown up in diet culture. So you have this belief system. And then even in the process of unlearning that belief system, you kind of want to keep some of that old belief system because some of it felt good. Like, oh, there's a physical change I can make that makes me feel rewarded. It boosts my ego. People compliment me. I'm treated better. Like the outside world applauds me. Who doesn't want to keep that? But if you can truly deprogram from that belief system into a new belief system of like, you are enough. Your body is brilliant. You can take care of your body in a way that is actually feels good and is fuels you and is rewarding and isn't like a slow death. And you can be healthy and you can take care of your body and you don't need to look different in order to achieve that. That is an amazing place to live, even though there is a loss. There is a loss of that ego boost. There is a loss of that external validation. But the good news is other people are catching on to this too. So you can also create a community where you do feel good about the work you're doing. People are validating you. They do get it. You're not totally alone. So I think that's a big part of why this is hard too. It's like, well, I'm leaving like diet culture behind and all my family and friends are still there and I'm leaving. So that feels lonely and sad and poopy because nobody's complimenting me anymore. And some people might even be like, I'm concerned about you. But I mean, that's like when you leave any group is like, oh, you don't subscribe to what we subscribe to now. It's like, I'm worried about you. It's like, well, they're not necessarily doing it right and you're doing it wrong, but it can feel that way if you're alone. So just when you are leaving that narrative and you do find like, oh, this is, feels hard. I want to bring some of that with me. I want to still lose weight. I still want that social validation. First of all, totally normal to want that. But if you do want to leave diet culture behind, if you do want freedom with food and in your body, there is a time you need to totally let go of that messaging and create this new message for yourself and these new thoughts and this new belief system. But while you're doing that, reach out to other people who get it. Reach out to us on Instagram even. We're at the Body Love Society. Join our app that is a community full of people who are doing this work so that it doesn't have to feel so lonely, which then can keep you stuck in that old way of thinking, because it's hard to sever yourself from everyone in your life. Because if they're so hyper-focused on their weight loss and you're trying to reprogram your brain, you're going to have a disconnect with the people around you until, don't worry, you will get to a point where you can kind of reestablish your relationship of like, oh, that's just not something we talk about. Look at all the other amazing things in our lives we have to connect on. So you do kind of find a new connection with the people in your life. But at first, it might feel really lonely. And I think that's another reason people want to find this middle ground of like, well, can't I have it all? Can't I stay in this old narrative of like, looking this way is best and being thin is best and everyone's praising you while also getting rid of the binge eating and the food obsession and the body hate and all that stuff. But it just really isn't possible, unfortunately.
And please just know, before we go, it's not your job to explain undieting to every dieter out there or every family member. Or every, you know, dinner you're sitting at a holiday when diet culture comes up, because it always does. It does in my family too, all the time, at all the holidays, all the parties. There's diet culture all over the place. And just know, like, it's not your job to do the emotional labor to tell them what is toxic, what's not. I'm not saying you can't get in a really nice, constructive conversation who somebody is willing to understand or just willing to learn more, and you can have that conversation. That's very adult. And please feel free to have your own opinion and your own voice. And on the flip side, please know that you can also protect your energy and you don't have to explain yourself. You do not have to validate yourself to others. Even if they're coming at you with like all the things, you can set the boundaries and just know that that doesn't serve you. And if it does, then you get to listen to your body when you want to have the conversation and when you would rather just stay quiet. Even if there was somebody in a member in the collective who was like, I was sitting at a table and there was all this diet talk happening and I just felt so sad because I just wanted to be like, you guys, this is toxic. This is, you know, diet culture. Everything was just focused on body size. And she said, I just sat there and I didn't say anything because I didn't want to fuel the conversation. I didn't want to be attacked, you know, and that's also, honestly, that is the right move. And if she also wanted to have a conversation with somebody who was willing, that is too. There's no right and wrong.
But if you want to argue and have a big heated argument, that's fine too, but you don't have to.
Yeah, of course. But the point is, just it's not your job. Mm-hmm. I think people think like, it's my job to validate and shift people's mindset who've been in diet culture for 30 plus years, and it's not. It's your job to protect your energy, however that looks for you.
Definitely.
All right.
So good. Well, I hope.
So good.
Yeah, I do hope that this, the main message here that we wanted to give you today was there is no room for pursuit of weight loss in this work. If someone is talking about it, kindly leave the conversation, whether that be someone you're following on Instagram, whether that be a podcast you listen to that's like kind of non-diet, but kind of is. Because if you truly do want to change the way you think, you need a pretty solid place to get new messaging. And if that messaging is skewed, if that messaging is bundled up with some old messaging, it's going to be really hard to deprogram that thinking. And so just be aware of everything you're consuming, of all the thing, like whether you take a course from somebody, whether you're listening to a podcast that is very consistent in not focusing on pursuing weight loss. Because if there's, like I said, if there's a drop in there, it's very hard to establish new beliefs. If you think, oh yeah, but I could also lose weight. Like you're never going to be able to let that go and move on if it's still in the, even in the background of what people are talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, everyone. Well, that is it for today's episode, and we will be back next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.